Mahalos to all our underwriters and you, our listeners and members, and just you ultimate pledgers supporting Kauai Community Radio. And just to make a plug, for our pledge and fund drive. It's coming up starting next weekend. I believe Friday the 1st is the first of it all. And it's going to last for about, I don't know, maybe 9-10 days until we make our goal of $1 billion. And then some. Actually, we just want your love and support to continue to flow our way. It's always a pleasure to be here on the air. I'm Jimmy Trujillo, and got Tim over here. Tim, are you on the air?
Get a microphone. Aloha, aloha.
Oh, right on. Thanks so much. We got a phone call already? Before we go there, Mr. Phone Caller, hold on 1 second, because I got to do this before I get in more trouble than I already am.
The opinions expressed during this program do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its board, underwriters, volunteers, or members.
Mahalo for that, Sandy. And, caller, are you there?
Hi, I'm there.
Oh, right on, caller. Mahalo for calling in. And you got something you'd like to talk story about?
Well, yeah, I want to make a community announcement.
Okay.
I'm getting a little echo here, but I'll just keep talking unless you're having a problem there.
No problems here.
Okay, great. Jimmy, this is Fred, and I want to thank you and Tim for all your community work, all the work you do in the community, and for just speaking out and for, you know, just being a really concerned citizen, and all the great work you guys both do, and all the people that are doing the talk programs on KKCR. And I'd like to pledge about $2 million.
There you go.
I don't have it.
Oh, no. We'll make some up.
But I want to. And anyway, we're also, you know, this drive we're having is also for membership. It's, you know, besides the funding and the pledges and all that, and is we want to get new members. So we want to mention that too. Anyway,
that's how we make it happen. We have more members who continue to support the good things that we're doing, trying to do.
Yes. Now, the announcement I wanted to make, thank you very much, is there's the Kauai Alliance for Peace and Social Justice, which I am part of. We're showing a movie tomorrow night. It's a free movie in Kapa'a at the library, and it's called The Ghosts of Jeju, J-E-J-U.
Okay. And, this is an island in the South Pacific, Korea, Asian. I'm not sure, China Sea.
Yes, it's south of Korea, south of South Korea, and it's a really great movie. It's the first movie that anybody knows about that documents another... believe it or not, another atrocity of the American government, which is up to now has been pretty much buried in the archives. And this is, it happened in 1947, where we went over there and slaughtered a lot of people, and you know, and just pushed people out of the way and kind of destroyed their whole island. And then now here it is, 2013 and 2000. This has been going on for a few years. It's happening all over again. And the reason it's happening all over again is because of our esteemed President Obama and his people are doing a military pivot. They're pivoting from the Middle East to the Pacific. And so they can have bases in the Pacific and further toward the West, so they can target North Korea, Iran, Russia, China from that direction. And so what they've done is they've just come in and push their elbows in there, and they basically, the South Korean government is a puppet of America, and so together they are just further destroying Jeju Island and just completely annihilating a whole native population over there, people who are really peaceful, beautiful people who are fishing people, and that's a fishing village and 400-year-old village. And so they're destroying their whole culture. They're not killing people yet that we know about, that many people have been jailed. And actually, one of our friends, Kuhan Pike, who is a filmmaker, and I know you know her very well, and we all love her. She's now living on the Big Island, but she went over there, and several of my other friends have been over there, and several of them have been arrested and were protesting. And Kuhan actually took Oliver Stone, the great filmmaker, over there and accompanied him and showed him around. And he's in this film called The Ghosts of Jeju, and there is some film footage in the film that was made by Kuhan. And so it's really, not only is that connection there, but the connection is that the reason that we're, you know, stealing this culture and pouring concrete into their harbor, into their bay, into the beautiful fishing ground, is because we're going to put airfields, landing strips, and docks for large ships, which will then be fitted out with the Aegis missiles, which will be able to target those places I mentioned earlier. And what the local connection is, besides some of the people, is that those missiles are being tested at PMRF on the west side of Kauai, those Aegis missiles. And they're being made in on the east coast at a place called Bass, Maine, which used to build build ships. Now they're building missiles. So anyway, there's this whole connection of everything moving towards the west, and it goes right through Kauai. So not only are we the center of the GMO world, probably the center of the tourism world, is we're also now the center of this military pivot to the west, and it's really, really bad. And people need to see this film. If you feel like you're a patriot, you better look at this film. You know, there's plenty of evidence. I'm a patriot. Yes, I'm a patriot for good America, not for bad America. I make that distinction. So anyway, this film is tomorrow night. It's a free film. It's at 6:30 p.m. at the Kapa'a Library, and really appreciate you giving me the time to talk about it. If anybody needs to ask any questions, my name is Fred. My number is 651-2815.
Right on. And so, Fred, the name of the movie again, there at Kapa'a Library tomorrow at 6:30 p.m.?
That's The Ghosts of Jeju, J-E-J-U. And it's a really well-done film, and I think it's about 80 minutes, I believe. I don't have that right in front of me, but, it's about that.
And then afterwards, you guys will have a little discussion, talk story about the issues at hand and other related issues.
Yeah, we'll talk about it after, have a discussion. We usually do, and we usually have a couple of treats there for people, and it's a free film. And that's, you know, the best thing we can do, we feel like we can do. It's the same thing you're doing, Jimmy and Tim and a lot of people in this community. It's just, you know, educating ourselves and educating each other and hopefully, you know, raising the consciousness. So all of a sudden the light will go on and we don't have to go to war anymore and bring the troops home and start taking care of the stuff here at home. And this is just one more little, you know, part of that.
Love
Big
it.
Part of it, actually.
There you go. When you're the Pico, you're the Pico.
That's it.
Hey, Fred, thanks so much for sharing that about the Ghost of Jeju Island, the Ghost of Jeju free movie tomorrow by the sponsored by the Kauai Alliance for Peace and Social Justice. 6:30 p.m. free show at Kapa'a.
6:30 at the Kapa'a Library.
Library, not the neighborhood center.
Terrific. Right, not the neighborhood center. We've had a couple of people. Matter of fact, I think you're going to have Jim Kelly on, right?
I believe Jim will be calling in a couple of minutes here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was going to show up at the Community Advisory Board meeting a couple of weeks ago, and he came to the
library instead of the neighborhood center?
Well, no, we were at the neighborhood center, and I think he went to the library instead.
Dope.
Yeah, I've made that mistake myself before, so.
Oh, wow.
Right on. Well, mahalo, Fred, for that. And
thank you, Fred, for all
you
do.
Hope we have a good turnout tomorrow night at the Kapa'a Library.
Yes,
6:30
right on.
Free event. Thank
right
you,
on.
Fred.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fred. Thanks
for the kind words about the work that we do here on our community radio, the different things going on. Did we get another phone call?
No, we don't, but we did have a person call in, and just to maybe segue in on a few things here, Jimmy. This person, once again, talking about some good consciousness lifting, educational things, and through the course, they said that as they were listening to Amy Goodman's Democracy Now! Program today, there was a short blip, you know, about our island, you know, and how the vibe has been put out, you know, that 2491, you know, had passed its preliminary, hearing phases.
Right.
And now, it's up to our ultimate leader, you know, if we're going to call him or look at him as such.
The chief executive officer of the county?
That, you know, who else do you go to, you know, when all else comes down to it? And
the big guy,
you know,
he was on the radio last week, last Thursday, Jonathan and Dave Giroux were hosting. And it did sound like he was a little reluctant right then to just say, yeah, I'm signing. But I know folks are delivering pens and encouraging him very, very gently, as well as somewhat aggressively.
Yes, I think we should.
Mayor,
it's about time.
This is a good time to sign the bill.
This is the right thing. The whole world is now looking at us.
I think we're gonna wait till maybe, I think, is the last day is Halloween. That'll be pretty scary if he doesn't sign it. And what a trick or treat it would be if he does sign it before then.
Wouldn't it be? I mean, and gosh, I mean, then we can all sleep well at night.
You know, at least sleep better, well maybe. I hope. I know that it's.
And if I were on the west side, maybe even, you know, breathe a little lighter and easier.
You had an opportunity to listen on Tuesday afternoon to Felicia's show.
I did. Yeah. You know, thank you, Clayton, you know, Kendall, all those, you know, guys that were on.
Yeah.
You know, just a phenomenal program, you know, and God, my heart goes out to those people. It's
heavy stuff, and it's all over. You know, I mean, we were just talking about the whole issue in Argentina, the news that's coming out of Argentina, where now, I guess, after long enough,
we've got documentation, science. It's irrefutable.
Like it. Well,
if that's what they've been asking for, we finally have it. You know, and I don't know, what are they going to now swayed it with? Because it wasn't done by our U.S. scientists, that it's not going to be good enough, or our U.S. doctors. Or,
that's it.
You know, wow, how many times can you keep trying to push this thing back into the trash can, you know, before we can finally take the trash out to the dump site. At this point, not here on our island, you know, let's put it elsewhere because that stuff is still too dank and funky for us.
There you go. Well, I'm going to take a little musical break and then bring Jim Kelly up here pretty soon from KIUC. We're going to be talking about the
thank you, Mr. Kelly.
The issues that are I guess, surfacing related to the meter reading and the fees that will be purchased, if you will, by members for having a non-digital smart meter in their backyard. So, anyway, we got somebody on the phone here. Brett, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, we got you. You're live on the air.
Last week, you guys were saying that one of the council members is going to be reappointed to a different position.
Actually, it wasn't us talking about that, but I'm sure it was Dave Giroux and Jonathan Jay mentioning Nadine Nakamura's, if you will, kind of new assignment. She is graduating from the council and moving up to the administration. She will be the, I guess, I'm not sure exactly what Gary Hughes' current title is. He is the administrative director or administrative manager. He's probably the mayor's right-hand guy because the left-hand guy is not a guy, it's a gal. That's Beth Tokioka.
If I understand this correctly, if the mayor vetoes the bill, now it goes back to the council.
Yeah,
but now
that's right.
We don't have enough council members to do a 5-to-1 vote. Is that correct?
It's speculation, I guess. Her vote, the new person, I think, would have an opportunity to would have an opportunity to vote on that if the timing is right. If not, then you still need to get, I don't know if it's a supermajority, whatever the numbers are. I think it's 2/3 of the quorum that is there. So it would probably need to be five members saying yay.
And so if one of them says no, then the bill dies.
It's possible that could be an
always
outcome.
A possibility.
And so did they know? How did you come to this point where she was conveniently going to be relocated to another position and not able to participate in the vote over this bill?
In all honesty, I think it was Mercury being in retrograde. But other than that, I don't know. You'd have to really look into it to say, was the timing
of
this?
I'm worried because, to me, it seems like if you guys set that up and the positions that you guys hold in office, you have to know what's going on and you have to know how this all works. So there's no way you can tell me that you didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah,
if that is the truth, and how it's going to unfold, it really looks ugly.
It doesn't look good, right?
But I don't think
it
was planned, though. You know, I don't think Gary was taking his leave of absence purposefully at this point.
It's like
in time.
You're either going to have one council member short, so you can veto it, or you know, I just don't understand how they could do that because you have to know how that works if you're in that position.
Well, that's right.
And if you knew how that works and you went for it anyway, then that means you're corrupt. That ain't right. You're doing something evil because you've already stripped us from all our power from getting this bill passed with the public majority that's trying to get this done. And so now you've taken the rules of your game and you've manipulated them so we can't even win no matter what.
I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't accept defeat if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but you know, you're pointing out some things. You're not the only person to
think
kind of bring up these if you will, hard facts.
Well, it's a really big faith losing move. You know, I don't trust anybody now at that point. If that is the case, you know, I'm not really positive. I'm just going off what I heard. So, you know, I don't know for sure, but
yep.
What I'm putting together in my head, it and please correct me if I'm wrong, this just does not sound good at all. That sounds like we're in a corner now, and we've been stripped of every possible means that we can do to get this bill passed. So now what? What do we do now?
Oh,
is there some way we can make an emergency legislation where we can keep her in the game just for one day or whatever it is? I mean, the timing of this is ridiculous, too. How many days are they overlapping by?
It's a matter of hours, I think.
That's not acceptable. That is not acceptable, and if it's some kind of paperwork thing that is making this happen, we have to have some kind of common sense trump card where you can't do stupid things like that just to get your way. You know, we're trying to do it the legal way.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you guys are going to do things like that. You're making an evil board game. You know, you've turned the rules real bad.
My friend, I would suggest that you have a conversation with either Nadine Nakamura or Bernard Carvalho. They're available. They're not the easiest to get in touch with, but you'll have some of your answers there when you talk story with them.
Well, I just wanted to, if that is the truth, I wanted people to be aware of that, too, because that would, you know, it would kind of slip by a lot of people and just this thing might just go away. But people need to be aware of that, that if that's the kind of action that's being played for this particular subject, I mean, I don't know what to say.
You're bringing it up, and I think other people have too. It's out there, you know. Folks are pondering this, and the question is, well, what will we do next? What are our alternatives?
We can butt in and make mm-hmm. it so it, you know, it's a matter of hours. If you're going to stick to like, oh no, she's not part of this anymore, and you know, this is what the paperwork says. I mean, you're following the paperwork a little too much. It's no consent.
Well, my brother, I'm going to let you go there. Our phone seems to be cutting out, but I appreciate the call in, and we're going to go right back to this. there we go. Just a little truth for us all here. I hope I got the right buttons where they need to be. Jim Kelly from KIUC, are you there on the phone?
I am here.
Oh, and you can hear us?
I can hear you.
Coming in good. Thanks for joining us here.
Hey, how are you guys doing today? I first want to really thank Fred Dente for publicly humiliating me for not knowing the difference between the Kapaa Library and the Kapaa Neighborhood Center.
leave it to Fred to do something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that was really classy. I thought that was our little secret. But thank you, Fred.
Cats
really,
out of the
really
bag
appreciate
now.
It. Yeah, so cats that kind of set me up right you know, right on the defensive.
You can give him a hard time.
What
are
friends for?
Right? Yeah.
6:30 p.m. at the Kapaa Library.
Yeah, it's all a trick now. I'm gonna go check both of them now to make sure.
Use your GPS.
Yeah.
Well, Jim Kelly, you tell me your title with
communications manager. Okay,
communications manager.
Right.
So appreciate you joining us here to
sure.
talk story a little bit about the issues that some have, and I know that while we were just talking, I mentioned Marge Dente calling in on a Tuesday show to talk about this. I know that Jonathan Jay has been bringing up the issue in regards
right.
to a petition that is being circulated on some. Issues related to, or rather specifically, the decision by the board to and Jim, better for you to describe the action because you know the issues better than I do of what the board decision was, how that affects memberships in
right.
regards to proposed fees for a meter reading and the opt-out of the smart meter program.
Right, yeah. I mean, really quick in a nutshell, the board voted to ask the Public Utilities Commission to approve fees for people who do not have a smart meter and who we have to still go out and do a manual meter reading. We're seeking $10.27 a month to cover the cost of the labor and vehicle and time going out to read the meter. And there's also a $50.64 charge that we're seeking for if we have to go out and change the meter. If somebody's got a smart meter on the house, somebody moves in, they decide they don't want it, you can still, you know, that's the important thing to keep in mind. People have the choice. We've said all along, if you don't want a smart meter, you don't have to have one. What's different now is you're going to have to pay for the time of the service guy to go out and switch out the meter.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want the meter and you want to switch it out, that's fine. We'll come out and switch it out, but it's going to cost you what it costs us to send a guy out there to make the change.
And that's how you guys are framing it. It is a cost. It's a cost that you guys are trying to recover. I know that in the little memo you sent out that you suggesting it's $340,000 a year for,
right.
for that, if you will, covered cost for how many? Is it one, two meter reader folks that are going to be doing this?
Well, what we had originally, we had six meter readers, mm-hmm. and we had moved forward assuming we were going to go down to one half-time meter reader. And as a result of having about roughly 9 to 10% of our members opting out of the smart meter, we've had to keep on 3.5 meter readers. And
half?
Well, you know, part time.
I was
3.5 positions. You know, as
yeah.
part of somebody's duties, right? So, you know, I mean, imagine driving from Manaa all the way to the end of the road on the other side of the island. I mean,
right.
there's a lot of area to cover,
mm-hmm.
and our meter readers drive 100,000 miles a year just on this island reading.
The current six do.
Yep, the current six.
Wow.
And so that's, I mean, it is absolutely, you know, a cost that the whole membership is bearing at this point. I think there was a thought that we would look to see how many people did opt out, what it was going to end up costing to read the meters, and it was thought to be a pretty, you know, it's not insignificant. Again, we've had a lot of people that didn't defer. You know, we sent out the, you know, people had the choice. If you didn't want to have a smart meter, you fill out the form and you send it in.
Right.
That didn't really cost us anything. All we did was skip their house when we went, you know, out installing the smart meter.
Right.
Now we've got people who've had the meter for a year, you know, 9 months, 10 months, and suddenly they decide, well, I guess I really don't want the smart meter, and they tell me it's free to switch it out, so I'm going to call up and I'm going to have them switch out the meter. Well, it's not free. We haven't been charging for it.
And previously, though, it was, if you will, a service that you were providing free of charge.
We were, yeah.
Yeah.
And as of today, we're still doing that until the PUC you know, decides what to do with our request. But there is a cost to going out. And, I mean, there's some places we've been out three or four times going back and forth on the smart meter, non-smart meter, as people come and go and people make other decisions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every time you're putting a guy in a truck out, driving out someplace to do something, it costs all the membership money.
Right on. Before I take this next caller, can you talk a little bit? You mentioned the PUC, you know, has a say in this matter. Where are we at with the PUC and what the, if you will, proposal by KIUC is? Where are we at there?
Well, we filed the application earlier this month, and it is with them, and it's, you know, they can act as quickly or as slowly, or it's up to them whenever they decide they're going to decide. And they can throw the whole thing out. They can accept it as it is. They can change the numbers. They can change the dates. I mean, they have the ultimate authority over mm-hmm. whether this is going to go forward.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's not, if you will, it's not a done deal. It's just...
No, and it's also something that is looked at by the consumer advocate who plays a role in any kind of regulatory issues. He's the... you know, if you will, the representative of the consumer, and so they also look at the proposal and look at what we're suggesting, and they render a decision, and they advise the PUC, hey, we think this is okay, or we don't think this is okay, or here's the changes we would make. So there's a role for the consumer advocate as well.
And the consumer advocate is a state...
state agency, right. And people have been sending emails, you know, we've gotten copies of them, and people are calling PUC, consumer advocate, all that correspondence is shared among the PUC and the consumer advocate.
Right on. We do have a phone call. I don't know if it's Marge Dente, but we're going to take
I can only
phone.
Hope.
There we go. Maybe it's Fred apologizing. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for the show.
It's not Marge Dente, is
it's
it?
Not. That's not Marge.
Okay. It's not Marge for no. sure.
And you're joining us, Jim Kelly from KIUC.
Yeah, there was someone wrote in letters to the editor asking why people can't do the meters themselves. Like in the good old days, you get a postcard and you write
right.
down the meter.
Right.
What's the problem with that? And then another caller on another show asked about what's the difference. You're doing that now. You're reading meters. Why do we have to pay an extra $10 when you're already dishing out money for that service already?
Those are good questions. I'm glad you mentioned the letter in the paper today, because I've had a number of emails and calls from people who have suggestions like that about, well, hey, here's something else to consider before you charge people to read the meter. And I am collecting all of those ideas. Some of them are more practical than others. I'll just say on the issue of postcards or emails, you're still, one, you're having to depend on the people to send it in at a certain point. If they don't send it in, then you're dealing with a manpower issue of, you know, calling or tracking that down.
Mm-hmm.
You're also dealing with just physically handling 3,000 emails or pieces of paper, which, again, is not the most efficient way to, and then manually inputting the numbers that they send in into the system. So, whether that is cheaper than having the guy drive out in the truck, I think would, you know, be something that would be arguable.
Well, it could on gas and CO2 emissions and
yep.
wear and tear on the tires and
right.
oil and all that stuff.
Right. No, absolutely. And what I'm doing is I've had a lot of good conversations with people and people have sent in suggestions. I'm collecting all of them and I'm sending those on to the board for them to take a look at, because ultimately that's their...
Fine. Okay. Well, great. Well,
yeah.
Thanks for staying open.
Yes. Yeah. No, we are. And you know, I think we're trying to use technology here the best we can to make things as efficient as possible and to cut costs. And I mean, that's really kind of what was the motivating decision behind the getting the meters. As for, well, hey, we're paying for it already. The difference here is that the assumption was that without the 6 meter readers, there was going to be some cost savings, and at the end of the year, everybody was going to get that back in terms of the patronage capital that everybody gets, because there's no profit at you know,
right.
the co-op. And so basically, that would have been another buck or two from every customer that they weren't having to spend on meter reading. And so This is all incremental, and we're adding it back in because we bought the meters assuming we'd have them all in. We wouldn't have to read anymore.
Right.
And the next time we went in for a rate case, that meter reading amount overhead would not be calculated in there. And so, you know, that would have an impact presumably on the rates, but it sure would have an impact on the patronage capital at the end of the year.
Yeah. And then there's the issue that is the biggest issue of all, is not the money, it's the health issues about smart meters and the controversy about it, and
right.
all the other communities on the mainland that are suing companies or getting their smart meters away, and other people's smart meters affecting their health. I mean, you've opened up a can of worms of radiation that people are terrified about.
But why is a smart meter dangerous and Wi-Fi isn't? It's exactly the same thing. It's just operating
well,
a different
frequency. It's like how much poison do you want to take into your body until your body succumbs? Okay, so some people can do more poison than others, and others are more sensitive, the elderly,
sure.
the children, the people that have low immune systems. Those people are the ones that react to this kind of stuff. Now, you know, big guys drink beer and watch football, don't think anything of it, but the frail and the fragile have a whole different experience. So we can figure this out on paper, or we can look in the doctors that treat these people. But I think that more radiation is not better than less radiation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So justifying it on that basis... cell phones and all that other stuff, which you're right on with that. More radiation doesn't mean it's better.
No, I agree. And that's, you know, why we've said that, you know, if you don't want to have, which is more, I mean, I want to make clear, most utilities on the mainland, I mean, there's a lot of big ones that are giving people a choice, but there are a lot of utilities, they basically say, here's your meter, if you don't like it, then you don't get electricity. I mean, we responded to people's concerns, and we gave people a choice of not having a meter if they don't want one. So.
Yeah, I'd like to read about those communities, because it's the same thing like the fracking thing. Some people like fracking, they get lots of money out of it, and other people, it's damaging their
welfare. Well, consider this,
welfare.
Portland, Oregon, which is not the most, you know, I mean...
Bend?
Huh?
Did you say Bend, Oregon?
No, I said Portland.
Oh, Portland, yeah.
Portland, Oregon, which recently voted, I think, for about the 10th time not to fluoridate the water in Portland.
Uh-huh.
Some concerns. There are four people in the city of Portland who have opted out of smart meters. They have had all smart meters since 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And so every community has reacted, you know, differently.
Right,
but
right.
But it isn't that every community is throwing out smart meters left and right. Some communities are much more sensitive to it than others. Some communities don't even know what kind of meters they have. So.
Yeah, it takes a lot of education. I mean, college education to understand this whole thing. So the average Joe Schmo, you know, is not going to understand this stuff. It's hard enough for physicists and people and scientists can explain it to you, but then you can't understand what the hell they're talking about.
Very hard.
So it's a whole different plane of conversation that you and I are having,
right.
You know.
Right.
And I can't join in that conversation because I'm not a physicist, but I know that there's a lot of negative press about it, and health is a big issue for us with all the pesticides and everything else we got on this island.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate
we can have the conversation. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you for your openness. Bye.
Yeah, I do appreciate the call in, and thanks, Jim, for filling those questions. Somebody made a comment that Tim wrote down in regards to that issue of, you know, you can have a smart meter, you can have Wi-Fi. You know, the caller just said less radiation is better, and one of the other callers suggested that, you know, with our Wi-Fi setups, we can turn that off. But with the smart meter, it isn't something we could turn off. We don't get that kind of choice. But you are right. We don't have to have a smart meter. We can opt out of that, and that's something that you guys have responded to communities' desires. There's been a little bit of pushback on both ways. And I guess that's, you know, one of the other issues that is being brought up is, you know, and you frame it in that question. I thought this was a cooperative, and is KIUC acting in a cooperative fashion, making these decisions the way that,
right.
that they're making decisions?
Right. I mean, a cooperative is set up so that you have nine elected board members who make the decisions about running the cooperative. Mm-hmm. And actually, they make more of the policy decisions and the strategic they set the strategic direction of the cooperative. People, you know, members don't vote on every operational decision. No utility cooperative works like that.
Right.
These are the people that represent the members. There's nine of them. Three of them are up for election every year. And like anything else in democracy, if you don't like the direction things are going, then you have a choice come election day.
Right.
And those are the folks that are, and you know, I mean, they make tough decisions, and some of them aren't popular with everybody. You know, I'd point out that 91 roughly percent of our members are okay with the smart meters, and have, you know, chosen to have them.
And 3,000 haven't.
And 3,000 haven't.
Right.
But does that mean, you know, that we're not being a cooperative? I mean, you know, because some people I think the directors have been, you know, they've been very responsive to concerns that they've heard from people, and we've been hearing them for quite a long time.
There we go. Well, we have somebody who's spoken to the board a number of times.
Is it Marge?
Here we go. Marge, come on.
Marge!
Aloha.
Aloha,
everybody, and aloha to all the listeners. I did promise to call in today. And first of all,
Are you, first of all, apologizing on behalf of Fred?
No. He is his own decision.
Oh, but it was kind of a cheap shot, wasn't it?
Well, you have to take that up with him.
Yeah. I know nothing.
Good job, Marge.
Thank you.
Anyway, Jim, I do want to thank you personally. I feel that KIUC has done one of the best things they've ever done by hiring you as our community customer relations manager. And you have always gotten back to me very quickly whenever I've had a concern or a question or a complaint. And we may not agree ever, and sometimes we do, but I think you're doing an excellent job, and I want to thank you for being on KKCR, our great community radio station.
Well, thank you so much, Marge. That's very gracious of you, and I really appreciate you saying that.
Well,
you're doing
a good job.
Thank you. We can agree on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so. But anyway, just briefly, and maybe instead of my giving these facts and you giving answers as I'm giving the facts, maybe you could just take a couple notes and you can address my issues later. On September 27th, which was a Friday, the PUC requested to KIUC to combine two applications, which you have mentioned, the change-out fee and the opt-out fee. And they wanted them combined, and I presume that KIUC probably has saved some money by combining the two applications. And so on Monday, a special meeting was called by Chairman Alan Smith, and I assume by the staff CEO, David Bissell, to hold a special meeting on October 1st. Now, the bylaws claim that the only notification that has to happen is to each board member, a posted sign on the door of KIUC, and I believe in the website. There is no other notification of any other kind of board meeting. Now, the meeting was held on October 1st at 3 p.m. at KIUC with six board members present. And one out of the country. Actually, there were eight board members, six members present and two on the conference phone. Now, the vote was to make this smart meter charge $10.27 a month plus a setup fee at that meeting. There was no member of the public there. There was no member of KIUC there other than board members and staff. I believe they're required to be members of the co-op. I have been attending meetings for more than 2 years, and at every meeting I have brought up the issue of the opt-out fee for smart meters. Every board member knew that. The chair knew that, and the CEO knew that, and you knew that, and I have gotten emails from board members before and from you. So everybody's got my email address, yet I was never notified of this meeting. So I never had final input into whatever the board's recommendation, the committee's recommendations to charge this opt-out fee. And I am just highly incensed about this because Peter Yukimura at one of the open meetings to discuss the strategic plan, he actually said that, he said, we've learned our lesson. We're more transparent now. Now, that is horrible. That's horrible transparency, and I don't want to blame you specifically because you don't make the decisions probably, but the management of KIUC, unfortunately, has lost our trust, not only to our membership, to the public in general. And I don't know where David Bissell is at or Alan Smith. Alan Smith is the chair of the board. And he actually called a meeting. And at the meeting, I understand, it was called an emergency meeting. Quote, quote, emergency. Now, one board member told me that it was never considered an emergency meeting because there was no hurricane on the way. An oil barge had not been lost at sea. The oil refinery had not blown up on Oahu. And the Elielie plant had not burned down. So there was no real emergency, and that meeting could have occurred later with more public notice. What I think happened here, and maybe in your remarks you can correct me, is that because the KIUC was in arrears of asking for a change-out fee, you were going broke. And so you wanted that change-out fee to get approved as soon as possible. And what the PUC did was say, oh, well, we're not going to take up the issue separately. We're going to combine them. So what this forced the board to do in their, quote, emergency meeting was to combine the opt-out fee with the change-out fee, which was a hurry-up, as far as the management was concerned. So that left no time for any KIUC member to have input. Now, what I would like to suggest is that there's coming up a meeting October 29th, I believe that's a Tuesday, at 12:30 at the KIUC building. I would recommend anyone who's listening to this call to attend that meeting. But more importantly, I want to give you my email address because I want to send anybody who has the time and the energy to file an informal complaint with the PUC. I am filing one tomorrow. And what that means is you've got to go on the website and get a form, and you can fill it out. You make a copy, a hard copy, and you send that not only to the PUC, but also what Jim has indicated, you send that to the
consumer advocate,
and they will forward your correspondence to KIUC. Now, this is really, really important, all you listeners out there. No matter what you feel about this monthly charge or whether you're not opting out, is this a fair fee? Because what this opt-out fee amounts to is $123.24 per year plus tax. And if someone's 20 years old now and purchases a home and is in that home for 60 years and never moves and has a smart meter but opts out, guess what? That charge is going to cost them over a period of 60 years when he becomes 80 years old, $7,904 plus tax. Everybody's got to think about what this charge is. And in addition, in the press release that was put into the Garden Island on October 3rd, and I assume this came from you, Jim, but it was published in the Garden Island, it stated that if all members were charged something to accommodate this meter reader charge, it would only cost every member $1 per month. so to me, if there's going to be a charge at all, and I'm not saying that there should be, that's probably the way to go, to amortize it over the entire membership. And the other factor that I've always, always said at all the meetings is, what's wrong with a average bill going out to all the members that have opted out? You can average your bill. The KIUC can average your bill for 6 months, and then they send you a bill for the average for 6 months. And then they evaluate it. How long is it going to take to do an average system? And I could do it in my own home. And then if it's more, you pay more the next time. If it's less, KIUC takes it off your next bill. Really, really simple. That way, a meter reader comes out only twice a year. And how much can that cost everybody? So I've got probably a whole lot more to say, but I really want to encourage people to file an informal complaint with the Public Utilities Commission, and you've got to go online to get the form, or simply write a letter to the PUC. Now, you can contact me by email, and I will give you all the directions on how to do this, because it's complicated, and you have to do it correctly, or it's not going to be accepted. So before you get talking at me, Jim.
Hold on there 1 second, though, Marge. Yes. I'm going to ask, can you call back after the top of the hour? Because I know Jim was going to leave here shortly, and I do want to have Jim at least be able to respond, because he's got to go. He's got to be somewhere at 5 o'clock, and I told him we were going to go till 4:45.
No problem. Great, Jim. Thanks for being there, and I look forward to your response. Aloha.
Thanks, Marge. I appreciate the call. Yeah, let me just real quick on a couple of points. I was at the meeting. I never heard anybody refer to this as an emergency meeting. I mean, it's semantics, but Marge is putting a lot of weight behind that. I never heard anybody refer to it as an emergency. Second of all, this isn't the KIUC was having some financial troubles because of having to send guys out to switch out the meters. That was not at all the case. The PUC asked us to combine these two requests, and we had the information, and we decided to move forward on it, you know, quickly. I got to say, I mean, Marge pointed it out. She's been at every meeting. She's made very clear what her opinion on fees and smart meters is, and
right.
I've heard from a lot of people in a lot of forums over the last 2 years, our annual meeting, our strategic planning meetings, the regular meetings we have, emails, calls. I think every board member has been called, run into at Costco, whatever, from people who feel strongly about mm-hmm. this. And so to suggest that nobody had an idea of how people felt about this, I think is not correct. As for I just want to make one last point on the estimated readings. Under the PUC rules, we have to send out an actual bill at least. We have to read the meter, and we have to. They don't want any unless they say it's an emergency or disaster. We have to read the meter at least every other month. So the idea of estimating bills, and you know, while Marge may be okay with estimating bills, that would require something that the PUC would have to approve, but some people don't like estimated bills because they don't like to get a surprise. But that's another one of the ideas that I've put together. Like I said, I've been talking to people about other things we can do, and I'm certainly including that on my list of things that I'll give to the board for options going forward.
Jim, I really appreciate you making time for us. Before you go, can you just give us the contact information if people want to get in touch with you?
With me? Absolutely. Yeah. It is jkelly, at KIUC.coop.
Terrific.
And we have all the news releases, background on smart meters, all that stuff, and that's all on our website, KIUC.coop. I'm always happy to talk to people or correspond. So,
and if folks don't have access to the Internet, what's your phone number that they can...
Oh, my number at work here is 246-4308.
4308. Well, that's right. I got it right here.
Yes, but I am leaving now. So
yes, they can get in touch with you after.
If you call me, you can leave me a message. Okay?
I appreciate you calling us and talking story with us here, Jim Kelly from KIUC.
Thanks for asking me, Jimmy. I really appreciate it.
No
Take
worries.
Care, huh?
We'll have you back on. Aloha.
All right. Aloha.
And thanks again. Jim Kelly joining us from the office of KIUC. We're going to take another caller here very shortly. Let me get the right number up. Aloha caller, are you on the air?
I am, if that's me.
That is you. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Well, it's too bad that I missed speaking directly to Jim because I've been doing that through emails and stuff. And
shoots.
Is he gone?
He is gone. He was going to stick around till 4:45, but Marge got him till 4:50.
Yeah, well, that's too bad. I'm sure he probably doesn't want to hear all the calls that are going to be coming at him because, you know, I do appreciate responses back from him, but I'm not content with what those responses are because
sure.
they honestly
okay.
haven't been forthcoming. Mine, you know, request about what's this $81 fee and then what's mm-hmm. this $50 fee and him writing back that that fee is going to be retroactive for anyone who signs up between September 30th and November 4th if the PUC even determines that it's going to be a fee that's okay to charge. And then I had to contact the PUC to have them tell me, well, that you know, proposal is prospective in nature, not retrospective, which means, you know, if they voted on November 4th, then that $50 fee doesn't count for it. And now I hear them on the air today saying we're not charging anything now. But this is the kind of shenanigans. So I love how polite people are, and I would be very polite with them on the phone, too. But there's something, you know, that Marge is speaking to about this, you know, lack of trust mm-hmm. in the communication. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a couple things I'll just go over quick.
Yeah,
and one
do.
Is what hasn't come up yet is the privacy issue. And if people are wondering, you know, what's the privacy issue with smart meters, I recommend that you just get online and look at that because it's a roaring, glaring problem. The other thing is this whole cost. You know, we're a rural electric, we're a rural kind of situation, and people who've lived up Wainiha Road way the heck out of there have never had to pay more to have a meter reader come out to their far-flung home to read their meter. So now all of a sudden I'm not even that far-flung, but I'm going to have to pay to have my meter read because I chose to opt out of that smart meter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that that's when did we decide that the cost doesn't get shared among?
You're being penalized.
Yes, and there isn't a precedence for that. We've always shared the cost for whether you lived close to KIUC where the trucks come out or you live on the other end of the island where
right.
the truck has to go. It's
mm-hmm.
been equal. So
just part of the cost of doing business.
Yeah,
right.
We're holding hands. Help each other that way.
And furthermore, the cost of a smart meter itself. If I don't have that on my house, then maybe I should have a rebate for that because
mm-hmm.
they're
go.
Pricey. And they're, you know, probably $350, $400. And they're going to have to be replaced in 5 to 8 years. That's not true of my analog meter that's cheap and sitting on my home and not costing me any electricity to run whatsoever.
Right.
So I, you know, I appreciate his chipper attitude, but there are some pretty deep issues here, and I think that the only way that this is really going to come out is, you know, having to petition KIUC to have a meeting about this. I guess that's the process, but
mm-hmm.
even that isn't easy to do. I'd like to get a petition
right.
together. So
right.
I there's a pretty big, you know, river of space between KIUC's perception of how hunky dory they are and how the public, who is up on this issue, is perceiving their, you know, congeniality with this.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing I want to say, and then I'll go, is that he talked about, you know, oh, you know, we've told people they could opt out for, you know, a year now, and all of a sudden people are asking now when they've had all this time. Well, that's because people are waking up. Had they had the kind of honest, informative meetings a year ago, and had they themselves, KIUC, the board, whoever made this decision, really looked with due diligence at the whole smart meter program, they would not have jumped in full feet, run in with it before they even checked in and thought, wow, you know, Kauai is the kind of community where people ask questions, where they care about their health, they care about their privacy, and maybe we should take a little litmus test to see what the mood is here.
Mm.
Because, as I've mentioned before, and I'm calling in about this issue, it isn't just about, oh, they're going to have to pay for meter readers. There's going to be, you know, class action lawsuits and everything else if these things about charging people or even health issues come up for people or privacy issues when it comes up. When things go wrong, there is enough precedence out there in the rest of the world for people to go, you know, I'm going to put forth a lawsuit. And that's going to cost all of us because we're all going to be paying for it. So, you know, kind of blaming people for not jumping on board, I think that KIUC needs to take some responsibility for not listening to people a year ago who warned them that this was going to be a hotbed, just like the whole FERC process. This is going to be a hotbed issue, and slow down and don't roll it out and don't hurry up. But by golly, they were determined to do it. So at some point, people are going to keep opting out as soon as you really figure out that it ain't a great thing. And then they're going to be sitting there with this grant expectations. And, you know, whatever their the requirements of the grant are, they're not going to be able to keep it. So there probably is a financial penalty to that as well. So I'd just like to see KIUC, as everybody does, to kind of step back into the light, stop playing games, and just start listening to its cooperative. And I am grateful that we're a cooperative, that we do have a say in it. And that should be a bottom line for the board, for the decision makers, that you start listening to the intelligent voices, because there's a lot of intelligent voices on this island that aren't sitting on the board, and they're not sitting in the offices there, but they still should be heard.
Well, I certainly appreciate you sharing your intelligent voice with here on our community radio. Thank you for calling in, and apologize, wasn't able to get you in when Jim Kelly was on the on
That's
the phone.
That's okay. He's heard from me.
I hope that he hears from you again.
Oh, well, it's a continuous conversation. And I will definitely plan to be at that meeting because on is it Marguerite?
Marge
was talking about, and I think people do need to show up for that.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Whoever can, and hopefully I can, that they need to see that this is important.
When was the time of that meeting again, Jimmy? Do you have that?
I don't have that.
I think I wrote down 12:30. Let me look on my calendar here.
Please.
I wrote down 12:30 at the KIUC building.
And that's on Monday.
Tuesday. Oh,
wait a minute.
Monday? I thought it was Tuesday the 29th.
Okay. Well, we're going to get confirmation of that.
Please
from,
do. She'll
from,
call back.
From Marge. She's going to come back with her email address, as well as a conversation with Jonathan Jay later on in the show.
Thank you. And I am suggesting that people contact KIUC right now before November 4th, because if you want that smart meter off your home. So here's the deal. It's free to get it off. And if you decide that you're so in love with smart meters that you want it back on your house, they'll put it back on for free, even if it's December 28th and it's been approved, because the reporter that had done an article told me that when he asked him about that, so what if somebody changes their mind and they want their smart meter back? Nobody really asked for it back, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, we'll put it back for free because we want everybody to have one. So is this true cost of work, or is this really we have an agenda, we'd like to roll it out, and we'll reward you for being on our side of this issue? And, you know, maybe they will decide to charge people, but that's what he said in the moment at that point. And when you do that, what I recommend doing is asking for a non-RF emitting analog meter. You got no worries about radiation. It doesn't cost you anything to run a meter like that because there's no electricity involved. It's purely mechanical. It's going to last you a really long time. And if a meter reader's got to come out anyway to read your digital, which is also putting off radiation,
right,
then you might as well have them just walking another 5 steps up to your door or 20 feet or whatever it is to be on the safe side. And if you decided that you want your smart meter for whatever reason, because you don't care about your privacy and you're not concerned about the health, then you could always ask for it back, and quite likely you'll get it back for free. So I opt for going for the conservative safe part until I've looked at it all, and then you can always jump into the deep end.
There you go. A precautionary principle in practice.
Yeah, so now you get it for free. So, you know, hustle in and do it. And I'm also going to say this. When you asked for it, I received a bit of grief about it. So it's not like, sure, you can have your non-RF emitting analog meter. I was tried to be talked out of it, and I knew better, and I went in clear about what I wanted, so I got what I wanted. So people really need to stand up for their rights for that, and don't let the person on the phone argue you out of it or anybody else, because it is your right. Many, many of us have them, so they can't tell you can't have it. Like, oh, we have to still get them made,
right,
or retrofitted, and oh, we don't have any left. So I wouldn't put up with any of that, because that's, you can't treat one member one way and another another.
Correct.
All righty, I'll let
there
you go.
There we go. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for the time. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. And I got to let everybody know you are listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea here on the beautiful Garden Island. You're going to be hearing us K284 AL in Haleiwa on the gathering place there on Oahu. Also 90.9 Hanalei side, 92.7 in the Anahola Moloa'a area, 91.9 FM island wide, and then over on the island of Oahu at 104.7 FM. This is Laura Christine. And this is the Out of the Box Show. We're taking phone calls. I'm going to play some underwriters here very shortly, but first, here we go.
Hello.
Aloha, Marge.
Hi,
you are back
hi,
on
I'm
the
back
air.
I'm back just briefly because I want to give time for anybody else to get in. Mm-hmm. The meeting is Tuesday, October 29th at 12:30 p.m. at the KIUC offices, and that's in Mihue. You get to it by sort of going by Home Depot and curving around a bunch of roads to get there. If you have any questions at all, their phone number is in the book, and you can call them to get directions.
Yeah, or you could call Jim Kelly at 246-4308 for directions. I'm sure he'd get back to you for that one.
Right. But now, it's real important if testimony is only for 3 minutes and oral testimony, but you can submit your written testimony, and that becomes part of the minutes. And I suggest that no matter what you're going to do, because you can do a synopsis of your written testimony as an oral testimony and still submit your written testimony. So everybody, please take the time to do that. This is real important, as the last caller said. Now, I want to give out my email if anybody wants to do an informal complaint to the PUC. My email is, and I'll give it out twice, M as in Marge, Dente, D as in David, E, Edward, N, Nancy, T, Tom, E, Edward, at hawaii.rr.com. That's M, Dente, at hawaii.rr.com. If you send me an email, I will send you complete instructions as to how to make a formal, quote, informal complaint to the PUC. So that's all I have, and I want to thank Jim again for being on air with you guys. Thanks for the great program.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Marge, for calling and setting this off in this direction.
You are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Right on. We're back in action. Thank you for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And just a heads up, remember, we've got a membership pledge drive coming up a week from today, actually starting on the 1st. And we're looking to raise some funds to continue to keep this mothership afloat.
It's what keeps us going.
That's what keeps us going. It is true. We got a phone call. We're going to take a
we
phone
do.
Call. And then we're going to get Jonathan Jay on the air. Aloha, caller. You are on the air.
Hi there. First, I want to mahalo nui loa you for having the program. And the last two people, Marge and Kathleen, for being so accurate, so clear, and so out there.
No worries. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
They are
my
sisters.
My simple little question is, and I think it's a very important one, when I came to this island, we had meter readers. Why today do those meter readers going to be costing more?
Yeah, there you go.
That's really important. It's part that just some more of the smoke screen that's being blown in our face.
Ah, so true.
So, well, I agree with both women ahead of me. If just people get educated and stand up, it's time that we ran this co-op as a co-op by all of us.
Yeah, bring that to that October 29th at 12:30 p.m. That's next Tuesday.
I know.
You know,
and
to that meeting.
That they put that on during work time when so many people that could be there can't.
That's part of the agenda, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah,
well, you know, I mean, I think
I'm real aware of that one, too, because I had to block my work so I can get there.
Right. Exactly. Well, thank
I'm
you for doing that. Thank you for doing that.
You have a great one, and mahalo nui.
Okay.
Aloha.
Hello.
Thank you. Now we got another caller coming right up. Aloha, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I'll try to be as quick as possible. I echoed that last woman's sentiments. Those two ladies, Marge and the other lady, were so wonderful. You know, the tone of that man's voice, he seemed like a typical snake in the grass, if you ask me. I feel really awkward because I'm a renter. Even though if there's ever, are you hearing me?
Yeah, we are.
I have no say, even though I put the form in front of my landlord this summer because I told him I didn't want a smart meter and he didn't do it. Hmm. And so I basically don't have any rights, but if there is a class action lawsuit, I'm curious whether I, being a member of the community, a.k.a. renter, could put my name on the class action lawsuit because I don't like smart meters, right? But at any rate, the this public utilities, like most people are, it seems just like a sham. It's just like, you know, and one thing, you know, the chipper tone of voice that the gentleman had, the woman, the articulate woman referred to, I mean, that's kind of almost like a dead giveaway of his, like, you know, yeah, I can just be whatever I want and have put a be really polite and put a smile on my face at the same time. You know, it's kind of, but the thing that he said that I didn't like, even though you say this all the time, Jimmy, and I like it how you say it, is that, well, if you don't
That's
like
Jimmy.
Your members, if you don't like your members, then not coming up the next election or your people that are you're appointed to office, you know, the board members, then just vote them out, and because your vote counts, right? And yeah, I agree with that 100%, except from the beginning of time, there's always been like voter fraud or manipulation, you know, like even up to the presidential election. I mean, and I'll just mention one thing and I'll let you go. Thanks for your time.
No worries.
You know, a couple of years ago, because, you know, I forget when I heard it, you know, because there's a huge debate about whether, you know, in one of the last presidential elections, you know, because it was all computerized.
The Bushes.
The last presidential election, they made it so hard on certain precincts, like black precincts in Florida.
Correct.
They had to stand in line all day to vote, you know, and stuff. And the way they do this, the whole voting system is built to discourage. It's like the lady who just said, oh, this meeting is on a weekday. You know, if you have to work, you can't make it. It's all set up. It's like that, you know. And there was an infamous back when Lyndon Johnson in Texas, I forget when it was, you know, who was running for a seat, a congressional seat or something in Texas, right? And it's infamous. You might know about it. It was the infamous Box 13. It was a ballot box because apparently he was going to lose this election, and the powers that be who really wanted Lyndon Johnson, they were prepping and grooming him to be a real big shot in Texas, right? At the very last minute, they came up with this ballot filled with votes for LBJ. It was called the infamous ballot box number 13 from some little tiny town, you know, in Texas, right? And I, like I say, you know, I don't know who could say, like I joke with Jonathan Jay, you know, because I surely would have voted for him if I had been a member, you know, because I like him, you know, he would have been great, you know, but I joke with him a few times that, you know, how do you know you lost that vote? You know, I mean, how do you know that the voting system in Kauai is not somehow rigged, because it quite possibly could be.
Yeah, but let's not go there. Let's not, you know, because if you do that, then you can conspiracy theory yourself to death, you know.
Well,
and that would
well,
drive all of us beyond the point of insanity. It's enough well, with what we got to deal with already.
That may not be true, you know, but basically what you've got to realize, too, is that I don't have a vote.
Right.
Whether it's conspiracy or not, whether it's tallied or not. And so when I do feel really a close kinship to all you guys that are talking about this issue, I'm left out in the dark, so to speak, right? So, you know, so basically in that light, hey, my vote doesn't count. It has been abducted.
Right, right.
Well,
you don't have a vote.
That's not a conspiracy.
No,
you know
no,
what I mean?
That is
okay.
Not. But at the same time, you know, Marge did say if you want to file an informal complaint through her
well,
and her website.
I plan to do that.
Please
do.
Go. I mean, that's a way to do it. You're still putting your voice out there.
I've got to tell you that Lady Marge and the lady who spoke after her were so articulate and wonderful. I want to applaud you ladies, you know. You know, thanks a lot for speaking.
Yeah, well, thanks for doing that, my brother. We got somebody else coming up on the phone, so in a bit, then, if you want to continue your talk, you know, give us a call back, but we have someone else on the phone right now, okay? Thank you.
There we go. We got to appreciate that call in and the kind words. Hopefully we didn't drop the other caller on the air. Are you still there, my friend?
I still am.
There
yeah,
you
thank
go.
You.
On the other side of the Thursday out of the box, it's
and
Jonathan J.
Thank you for the kind words you know, that that previous caller just said.
Right
yeah,
on.
That's yes. real nice.
Right on.
Well, Jonathan, I think you know you're kind of, if you will, pushing it in regards to representing the underrepresented.
Well, I'm trying to, but you know, it's not always easy because we have to operate inside the bylaws of the co-op. And the caller, the point he made about conspiracy, I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know for a fact that he does not have a vote, and that's not a conspiracy. That's just the way that it is,
yeah, right.
And that's also not right because. Mm. Hey, let me tell you, if you live on this island and you pay an electric bill, you should have a say in the co-op, and there's just no two ways about that.
Well, and I think, you know, some of the things that have been pointed out often are, you know, how, if you will, uncooperative our cooperative is. And,
yeah, say
and,
that three times fast.
I'll try, but I'll do that after hours. And I invited you to call, Jonathan, because I know that this is an important issue. I know that there's some timeliness being involved. I heard Marge's Kahea on Tuesday's show when she called in to talk story, and Felicia had a great show concerning Bill 2491. We'll talk a little bit about that later in this show. But really, there's not much to talk about that right now. It's just, where's the pen?
Wait for the mayor
For the mayor. We just got
to
get that.
Tend to drop.
But back to the issue of the petition that is you know, out in front of us. If you want to talk a little bit about that, Jonathan, if of how people can sign or how people can download a petition and what's behind, what's driving that, and then some of the other issues that you see surfacing around the decision by the board and by management of our cooperative.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. The thing that I think is really important now, because the two people who called in earlier have been so articulate. And explaining why this is an unfair, you know, penalty fee for people who didn't accept the smart meters, is what we can do about it. And that is, because we have a cooperative, and thank goodness we do, we have the bylaws of the co-op, and so we can use the bylaws to say to the board, hey, you know what, we don't think that decision that you made was a very good one, and so we're going to challenge that decision that you made, that action that you took, and if we get enough signatures to do that, then we can throw it back in their lap, so to speak, and then that whole issue has to be revisited, and that's exactly what we're doing right now.
Jonathan, are you up for sharing the air with a caller who has a question or comment?
Sure.
Yeah, okay, we'll bring him or her on. Hello, caller. Oh, wrong one. Uh-oh. Who'd we drop? You still there, Jonathan? Jonathan?
Well,
Jonathan? Call us back if you can. Yeah, we got some fat thumbs in the house. But before we go there... there's the phone. It's coming. Yeah, I'll just take care of a little bit of the dead airspace with this. Oh, hold on. God, you're going to have to hang up. And then we got you. Are you there?
I'm here.
You're here.
I think.
Yeah, you are?
Static electricity and everything.
I hear that. Yeah, there's another line open. So go ahead. You're live on the air.
Oh, boy. I just wanted to make a point, and I don't know if it has been made.
Wow, where did I go? Am I back?
Uh-oh. Yeah. Okay.
Person on this island uses electricity. Even the homeless people that go to the toilets in the park, we drive down the street, we have street lights, we have stop lights, you go into stores, everybody uses electricity, and everybody should have a say if it's really run as a co-op. And I don't know if it's mentioned, but there is also another petition, along with the ones for people that do not have account numbers, which apply to, like the man saying, it's included in his rent. And they're using it and having to pay for it just as much as the ones with account numbers. So there are actually two petitions that whichever category you fall into, grab one of us that are circulating them and sign up.
There we go. So that petition can be found where?
You know, I think I got it from Ray Songtree.
Okay.
He has it to email out in that form. And if that doesn't work by, I guess, Plan Z, they could email me, and I would endeavor in my non-computer savvy way get it to them. And I think we have to have them in by the end of the month, which... Every day is ticking off.
Yeah, every day is ticking off. We have a week left here if that's what's going to happen. So do you want to give out your information?
Okay, my email is, I'll say it and then spell it, hulahart,
Hula Heart. And can you speak up a little bit because that static is a little bit overwhelming. Hula Heart.
HulaHeart10@goodoldgmail.com.
HulaHeart10@gmail.com. That's to get a copy of a petition, to petition the board of directors.
Right. It's saying the same things, but there's one for people with account numbers, and we have a place to put their account number so they will honor it. And then the other petition is for people like paying for the electricity through their rent. It's included in the rent. And you're sure, you know, the landlords, if they have any smarts, have raised their rent price so it covers it.
There we go. So I'm going to get, we're going to have Jonathan call back. Thank you so much at HulaHeart10@gmail.com. And then that'll get you a copy of another petition to petition the board about that. Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate
it. Jonathan probably has it too because we are turning them all into him.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll get some more information on that.
Cool. Thank you guys so much.
No, thank you for calling in. Aloha.
Aloha.
Right, here we go. So we can bring back up Jonathan. Let's drop her. Yeah. What do we got? Are we there? Jonathan, how's that working now?
Hello.
You there?
Yes. I just wanted to say that both petitions are available on the second floor of the Dragon Building at the Blue House Booksellers.
Okay. So that petition is available at the second floor of the Dragon Building?
At the Blue House Booksellers.
At
both
the
petitions.
Blue House Bookstore.
No, Blue House Booksellers.
Okay, the Blue House Booksellers.
That's right.
Right on. The second story of the Dragon Building in Kapotown.
Correct.
Thanks for that information, that update. We're going to take another phone call.
Okay, bye.
Aloha. All righty. See if it works. How about now?
Aloha, am I back?
Yeah, you're back. Now we're gonna,
hey, fantastic.
We're going to keep you there now.
Well, that's another thing, right? I want to say a big, huge thank you to everybody involved in all this because it's really a community effort to get stuff like this done. So thanks so much to Small Town Coffee and Blue House Booksellers and the folks up all over Progressive Expression, Surf Shop, and everybody who's been helping out take this stuff. And I want to speak also to where people can get the petitions. The previous caller was explaining. You can go to p2pkauai.org, and I've got both the petitions there on site. You can download them, click and download and print them up at home, and it's a great way to get them signed.
So can we? Can you reiterate that one more time at that website where they can get that?
Sure. It's p2pkauai.org. It's the letter P, the number 2, and the letter P stands for Power to the People. p2pkauai.org.
All right.
And both the member and the non-member petition are there. So, you know, KAC, they only like listen to the people who are members, and they think everyone else can just go to lunch and not on their dime either. If you're not a member, but we care about everybody in the community because everybody's a member of the community in the island.
Yeah,
so.
And realistically, everybody uses electricity, you know? I mean,
it's
even
true.
If you go to down to, like, the county parks or something like that or anything of that nature where there's electricity, one way or another, we're tapped in.
Sure, or if you're driving around on the island or even if you're
Correct.
Riding a bus, you know, you want the traffic lights to work.
Yes.
You want the street lights to work.
Right.
If ice cream is on sale somewhere at the grocery store, you want it to be frozen when you get it.
Oh.
So everybody uses electricity, whether your name's on the bill or not.
Sure.
So we've got to figure out some way to get...
Incorporate our voice.
Oh, did we lose you, Jonathan? Good golly, his phone just died on us. I have a feeling that's probably what happened.
I have a feeling that's what happened.
Here we go.
No, I'm right here.
Oh, hey. Hey, thanks, man.
You guys are such tricksters.
I tell you.
Halloween, not too far away.
but I was saying that everybody uses power on the island, whether your name's on the bill or not, so we've got to figure out some way to get KIC to be more inclusive and to recognize more people's voices. And it's going to take a community effort to do that, so I'm real happy that people have responded so well. We have over 250 signatures right now, and we're going strong to get more. So I'm going to be down tonight at the GMO-free Halloween party.
Oh, where's that at?
That's going to be down at Lydgate Park.
Oh, what time is that start?
That's going on. It's going to start about half an hour. I'm going to jump in the shower and then get down there. I'm going to be dressed up in orange. I'm going to be a chainsaw man.
Oh, right.
Oh,
on.
Wow.
But I just say that so people can recognize me because I'll be having the petitions with me so people can sign.
Are you going to have, like, a still right there running right next to you?
No, I'm going to be holding the clipboards with the petitions on so I can get signatures.
Oh, then
what about a husky?
I need to have my hands free so I can do that.
No, they don't have a hands-free model?
No, thank goodness. Well, they got one-handed models, but even a hands-free chainsaw sounds a little bit dangerous even for me.
It could be that, exactly.
But I just want to thank folks because the response has been tremendous. We've got people all over the island gathering signatures, and every day in the mail I get one or two petitions that people have downloaded, printed, signed, and sent in to me, and I want to thank everybody for that.
Well, thank you for what you're doing, my man. I mean, it's just phenomenal, once again, the efforts that you've put into this to truly try to make it, you know, a wide open base.
I'm doing the easy part. I just put out the cahea is all. That's easy.
It is, but at the same time, you know, it takes somebody that has a little bit of initiative, you know, to want to get people spurned, you know, in the right direction. And you seem to definitely stand into that place and that spot, and we thank you immensely. Really.
Well, thank you. I try and stay productive, and I try and operate with a aloha because that seems like that's a better way to go.
Yeah, and you do that well. And
well,
I like
your
sense of humor, too.
You know, he's not the only one. Yeah. And if folks are interested in joining the conversation, the phone line is open at 826-7771. Jonathan, not to get too far off the track, but we've got our fun drive coming up. You want to come on board in a couple of weeks, and we'll make a couple pitches and raise some more funds on this out-of-the-box show?
I would love to do that because KIC is where it's at here on Kauai. That's for sure big time.
Oh, and your show as well, too, when you fill in the other portion, you know, what Jimmy here, man, is phenomenal. You know?
Well, and thank you guys for doing the off week because I wouldn't want to come up every week. That'd be too much. It'd be too much work. I got other stuff to do.
Yeah. Hey, it's not the off week. It's the on week that gets me.
But then again,
Jonathan, for folks,
put out the website again.
I was just going to say, for folks who are just joining us, we're talking to Jonathan Jay from P2P Kauai, and has a petition going out to petition our board of directors relating to the meter reader fees that are coming that have been proposed, and the PUC hasn't signed off on it, kind of like our mayor with the Bill 2491.
Right. But in this case, you don't want the PUC to sign off on that because the meter fee is an unfair, punitive punishment for people who refuse to toe the line and go along with the smart meters. I mean, you heard Jim Kelly say that if you want to get your smart meter reinstalled, they'll do that for free. But if you want to get an analog meter, they're going to make you pay. Well, that's just not right. It's not fair. It's not pono. And, you know, they've got to do things on a even-handed basis.
There we go.
Yeah,
I'm not
sure
if that's a phone call coming in. Nope, the red light is
playing with us.
There we go. I'm hearing just crackling, some voices in the machine.
So if folks want to if they want to get a petition that they can sign and send it to me in the mail, you can go to p2pkauai.org, p2pkauai.org, and the petition, there's a link to both petitions. If you're a member of KIC or if you're just a regular Joe, like the majority of people on the island, because there's only, you know, it's only 30,000 KIC members, but there's 70,000 people who live on the island. So most people listening are not members. If you're a renter, you may not be a member. Or if you're the spouse, you don't have a say either. So, but we've got petitions for everybody because we're inclusive. Inclusive. We like to represent everybody. And that's why we're doing this, to push back on the unfair meter fee.
Mm, it is unfair.
Yeah, there we go. And, Jonathan, you want to take a musical interlude, or are you ready to hang in there for a little bit longer?
No, I can stick around for a musical interlude. That might be kind of cool. I've never had one of those before.
Here we go.
Loads are good.
On the air, it's a request.
And it's not lewd.
Like they say, like the old enchiladas used to say, we got a request.
We got a request.
P2P. Power to the people.
power to the people right on.
There you go. Jonathan Jay, you still there?
I am.
You are. How was that musical interlude?
Man, you just cannot go wrong with John Lennon.
You cannot go wrong with John Lennon.
Nor with Jimmy Trujillo.
Or Jonathan Jay. Tim Kalai in the booth, keeping us honest. Hey, I do want to just put it out there again. What is that? P2P?
P2PKauai.org.
Right on. And folks are going to be able to download a couple of petitions there. One relating to memberships and the membership's right to vote. And what about
exactly
the underrepresented, those members who don't have a right to vote?
That's right, members of the community.
They consume electricity. They live in the same Garden Island, beautiful paradise.
Yep.
What's up with that?
Yeah, well, what's up with that is their voice matters to us and matters to me, so I'm taking signatures from everybody.
There you go. And then we just had a phone call asking, how long do you have before you have to turn those things in?
Well, that's a good question, and we don't exactly know the answer to that.
I'm thinking that Anaka, my caller, might know. This caller was suggesting that it might be 20 working days after the minutes are approved.
Well, that's exactly true, but the thing is, the KIC is going to get an answer from the PUC long before that ever happens. So we want to get our signatures in before they go to the PUC, before November 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. November 4th is kind of a
deadline.
A soft deadline, if you will.
Okay.
We still could gather signatures and turn them in after that, but you know, I don't want to get into a legal gray area where we're protesting something that's already been approved.
Correct.
Even though we still have the right to do so.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because then that becomes like an empty gesture, and I don't want to do that.
Right. So November 4th.
That's when you're wanting to get as many signatures as possible.
True impact.
Yeah, and you know, I'm asking people come Halloween for trick or treat to send me in as many signatures as they can by Halloween.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's the end of the 31st, yeah?
Wow, that'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Well, I also know that there's a couple of community events that are going to be going on. You might be able to, hang out in the right place. Like tonight, you're going to be at Lydgate with the GMO-free Halloween party.
Right, we got a lot to celebrate there. What
pass the bill. But pass the bill party.
Yeah, exactly. It's really great news. I was just talking to a friend of mine from New York City on the phone this morning, and you know, he read all about it in the New York Times. Our little island is making waves.
Making waves. And we'll play a little bit of today's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman mentioning the fight in the island state of Hawaii.
That, the island state of Hawaii. Yeah, that's great.
That we are affected by it in many different ways, and that there's a legislation out there, and we're just waiting for the signature from the mayor.
Do you think he's going to sign?
I'm pretty confident he will be signing before the end of the month.
I'm very hopeful that he will, too. I think it's the right thing to do, and I think that when he sits down and he thinks his way all the way through it, that he's going to come to that same conclusion, and so I'm very hopeful that he's going to sign the bill.
Yeah, I mean, you had him on the show last week with Dave Giroux, and although he sounded reluctant of saying that he was going to sign it, I don't think that the political will not to sign it is significant enough. I think the apprehensions and the concerns are there for sure on a number of issues, but really, the work of the council has been done. There's a lot of critics saying that this bill is weak, it's been watered down, all of that. Be that as it may, it's the best bill in town at the moment to address the issues that people have been pointing out so well. This last Tuesday on Felicia's show, she had some West Side residents calling in. This is not an issue going away, even with the passage of the bill.
That's true.
The fact that the governor has made it a campaign issue and that the mayor is also looking for support from his constituents to be reelected. This is going to be a campaign issue in a number of ways, and obviously that the big moneyed interest that the GMO industry represents affecting legislators far and wide, near and dear. There's no way that this is just going to be resolved with a simple act of the Kauai County Council.
No, that's true. But, you know, during the show, the mayor outlined he had three options. He could veto it,
he could sign it into law or he could allow it to pass into law without his signature. Since then, there's been some evolution because I understand he's ruled the veto out.
Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding from a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said that on another news source, and he ruled the veto out. So now it's down to whether it's going to become law if he signs it or if he doesn't sign it. But either way, we're looking at it becoming law. So I hope that since the mayor, you know, he describes himself as a man of action. And from what I've seen, that's pretty much true. So I think it'd be more consistent for the mayor to take action and take action with Aloha and sign this bill into law. I'm real excited for him to do that. And I just want to know, you know, when that's going to be so I can mark my calendar and so I can attend the signing ceremony. Because I bet you I'm not the only one who'd love to attend the signing ceremony for Bill 2491.
Right there at the Rotunda.
Yeah, that would be a really great afternoon. I'm sure several thousands of people would want to show up for that.
Mm-hmm. And that would be worth celebrating.
It would be. So, you know, I extend that to the mayor as a vision of what is possible, and I look forward to him seizing the opportunity. But tonight we're just going to party, and I'm going to gather signatures for the KAC unfair meter fee down at Lydgate. And I think that's an open invitation for everybody to come. Anybody who wants to come, you know, costumes are encouraged, but it's probably not required. And everybody's going to have a good time. So if you bring your aloha, I'm sure you'll have a good time, too.
There you go. Bring your aloha with action. Just visualize that pen coming out of the breast pocket right there on the... I'm seeing it right now. The Honorable Mayor Bernard P. Carvalho,
Jr. Yes, Jr.
Boom. And I think stamp goes down. The flashes right there. There's Dennis Fujimoto taking the picture of the pen.
Oh, lots of pictures get taken right there.
I think
sure.
that picture, that pen was given to him by Nomi
Carmona.
There you go.
I saw her give it to him, and she gave him a little kiss on his cheek, too. He was real happy after he got that.
Who knows where that's been, but hey, it's got ink in it, baby. It'll do it. We love that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Kauai loves our mayor, and our mayor's obviously got a lot of love for Kauai, so... I'm pretty sure at the end of the day he's going to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, you know, the criticism of the bill being, you know, amended to death or not worth supporting because, you know, that's all, if you will, opinion. It is what it is. We have given it a great shot to address some issues that are significant.
Well, and the core issues are still there. They, you know, the right to know, disclosure, buffer zones, and a study.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, you know what? It's been passed. Let's get it signed, and let's figure out how to get her done because we got a lot of work to do.
We got a lot of work to do. Do we got another phone call? Nope. Somebody's staying off the air. You know, Tim's got a lot of friends who calls in during this show. Folks have engaging conversations. Jonathan Jay, one more time before we let you go, because we're running out of time. I've got Moe's. He's around here somewhere. I know the smartest man, world's smartest man.
Smartest man in the world.
It's coming up here shortly. Acoustic Luau in just 20-some minutes away.
Well, for one last time, for folks who didn't get it, my website where you can go to download the petition is p2pkauai.org. And it's the links are right at the top of the page. You can't miss it. It's right there. It says exactly what it is, a member petition sign-in for the KIC. And you can download it, and you can print it up, and you can sign it, and you can send it in the mail. My address is right on the document itself, so you can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong. I dig that. We don't want to go out. We don't want to go wrong.
I like trying to make it easy for everybody to do the right thing. I like stack the deck like that.
You do it good. You do a good lot at, really. Right on. Well, Jonathan Jay, thank you for joining us. Next week, Thursday, you and Dave are going to be here. You have a story or a couple that you're going to follow?
I don't know. Right now it's going to be an open show.
Open show.
Open show. People can call with whatever issues they like to.
Masked or unmasked. Costumes optional.
Maybe we can talk about Halloween and what people want to be for Halloween, or maybe we can talk about the mayor. Maybe he'll have signed it by then. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you get his golden pen to him?
I didn't. I didn't have.
He's waiting. That's what he's waiting for, Jonathan. You know that. That golden pen.
But you did a good job. You got him late.
With the diamond studs.
I appreciate that.
Right on. Well, you guys have a great rest of the show. I'll hang up. Some more callers can call in. And thank you so much for all your
help on this KIUC matter. It's been a really great show for that.
There we go.
And you too. Thank you, bro.
It takes a village.
Yeah.
You'll be in touch, Jonathan. And here you go.
Tune in Thursdays from 4 to 6 p.m. for Out of the Box with Jonathan Jay, Dave Giroux, and Jimmy Trujillo. You never know what you're going to hear. Get Out of the Box on Thursdays, 4 to 6 p.m., only on KKCR, your free speech radio.
Hi, I'm Steve Thatcher, president of the board of directors of the Kekahu Foundation, the governing body of Kauai Community Radio. The Kekahu Foundation board sets policies, provides direction, and supports the mission of KKCR. The board is currently seeking members to assist us in our activities. If you have experience in the legal, financial, or the development fields, or if you just have a passion for community radio and the time, energy, and commitment to serve, we'd love to have you join our ohana. Please fill out an application available at kkcr.org. It takes a community to support community radio. Mahalo.
Due to the increasing amounts of marine debris, Surfrider Foundation is now organizing beach cleanups on the fourth Saturday of every month. Join our volunteers on September 28th from 9 to noon at Mo'ola'a Beach. To report marine debris, call our Net Patrol hotline at 635-2593. Help protect our beaches and ocean wildlife. A reminder from the Surfrider Foundation.
Yeah, this is the world's smartest man, and I listen to the Acoustic Luau on Thursday evenings from 6 to 8. You'd be smart to do it too.
What could become the country's first law requiring the labeling of genetically modified foods and seeds. Washington residents will vote on Initiative 522 on November 5th. But companies opposed to labeling are funding a more than $17 million effort to derail it. Monsanto donated nearly $5 million and DuPont has given more than $3 million, while Pepsi, Coca-Cola, and Nestle have dedicated more than $1 million each. Labeling supporters have raised less than a third of their opponents. Their largest donor is Dr. Bronner's Magic Soaps. A recent New York Times poll found 93% of Americans want labels on food containing GMOs. 64 countries require it. Meanwhile, legislators on one Hawaiian island recently passed their own bill restricting pesticide use by companies developing GMOs. Because of its location, Kauai has become a hotspot for new genetically modified crops, particularly corn, which is grown by companies including DuPont, Syngenta, and Dow. But residents say pesticides from the fields are making them sick. Last week, the Kauai County Council passed a measure that requires the companies to disclose which pesticides they use and establishes buffer zones around medical facilities, schools, and homes. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
Here we go. Amy Goodman talking about our bill, 2491, recently passed by the Kauai County Council and waiting the signature from His Honor, the good Mayor Bernard P. Carvalho Jr. We do have a phone call, or no?
No, and you know, Jimmy, we had somebody that called in, and even though they were stating that they didn't want to go on the air, but she was wondering, in particular, you know, if 2491 is passed in its current state the way that it is, what exactly will it do for us here on the island of Kauai, especially for those folks on the west side? You know, in regards, she said she was a little naive about this, but you know, if it does get through all the way through and it passes, you know, with the mayor's blessing and all this, what will happen? Did you know the end result of that?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be able to tell her what's going to happen. It's going to It's a process. It's going to take a while for it all to be figured out. It, certainly with our county getting involved in it. You know, we know with the state it's going to take a while for them to figure this one out.
So they're bringing new ag inspectors or things of that nature to come out and start doing the testing?
I believe that's going to, there's going to be some involvement with the Department of Health looking into some of these matters as well. You know, I think the bottom line is that the study is going to help us understand the impacts better. The buffer zone, you know, there's an argument as to how effective buffer zones are going to be.
Really are, right.
So, is it a hollow victory that the bill got signed? Sure, maybe the moratorium was somebody's, you know, big thing. They wanted to see a stop of this, and that's not going to happen. I think that the residents in the West Side communities, in the South Shore areas, and in also other, you know, parts of Niue, that they will at least be able to understand better what products are being used, and if there are some major incidents, be able to go to the source and find out. We do have another caller. We're going to bring caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you.
Sure.
I want to put forth an idea.
Okay, thanks.
The companies stated that if the bill would pass, that would they sue? And they said you can take that as a given. So let's assume that they're going to do the really, it might be a corporate necessity, but let's say they're going to be do the really dumb thing and sue for the right to not, for us not to know. I would like to put forth the idea of crowdsourcing funding to help the county fight the lawsuits in the manner of which, for example, when the Haiti earthquake occurred,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
When the Boston Marathon bombing occurred, and other disasters, where you could text a number, and by texting the number, you would have contributed whatever, $10 or $5 or whatever,
right.
Whatever the amount was associated with the particular number. And you might recall that millions upon millions were raised. But what I would like to suggest is that if one of our organizations, such as GMO Free Kauai, or maybe even a new entity, were to set this up, that they include the people of the world.
There you go.
So that people in the countries where these companies are wreaking havoc and devastation and cultural horrors and the things that they're doing overseas makes Kauai look like a paradise compared to. So you can imagine that people overseas in some of these countries, for them to be able to give 25 cents would be like huge.
Huge, right.
Huge. But the option ought to be made, because I don't care if it's a penny that somebody can contribute. What we need is for these companies to see just what they're thought of around the world. And if we can set up a crowdsourcing fund, a legal defense fund, and give people the chance, because you know how many tens of thousands of people sent emails to the county council from all around the world. These were just people who sent emails.
Right.
So we already know the depth of passion that these companies have generated, the antipathy that is felt towards these companies and what they're doing via their predatory American capitalism. And so, hopefully there's somebody out there with the knowledge and the skills that might give this some thought and see if something could be put together and help the government out.
Right.
So anyway, thank you for your time.
Yeah, no, thank you. Appreciate that.
All right.
I think we have another caller coming on. Aloha. Mahalo for that call. No, this is some of the things that we're going to have to be kind of working with. You know, we have a legislative session that's going to be starting in January, so that's only, you know, really weeks away, less than a couple of months for sure that things are going to be starting to move. And I know that, this is something that we as a community, we the people, are going to take a little bit more responsibility for, because we've if you will, been sometimes kind of sold a bill of sale. Also, you know, we get into our comfort zone and we don't often take action in a timely fashion. And certainly we get a chance, just like Jim Kelly says, we get to replace our board of directors every year. Three of them get put on the sideline. We also know that there is an election, you know, almost every other year in regards to our council folks. Our mayor will be, you know, looking for support from his constituents here coming up here shortly. So, you know, we the people have to exercise our democratic rights, or we get a little soft around the belly and all that stuff. I'm just going to ask Tim, are we going to take this caller? Because we're...
Hold on a second. Let me put you on, Clinton, okay?
Oh, we got to... Hold on 1 second. We got one last phone call before we opt out and let the acoustic luau come on up. Aloha. You're on the air.
How's it? Yeah, we're still waiting on the mayor, I guess.
There we go. We are waiting on the mayor.
Yeah, that's a good question. When is he going to, you know, do something? That would be very impressive. But I guess, you know, he has to, you know, think things over and maybe over and over again.
Right.
But that's all I get to say for right now, until the mayor do something. Either he going to do them or he not going to do them. And I guess bottom line is, if he not going to do them, then we gotta do it.
Thank you so much, Clayton. Really, always for what you've been doing, my brother. You know,
okay,
for holding
I'll
this.
Later.
Okay, mahalo nui.
It's true. We gotta do. You know, and I'm hopeful. I'm always an optimist, and you know, to a fault. But I think that you know, the honorable mayor Bernard P. Carvalho Jr., he's
going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
We know he is, because we know he stands behind all of his constituents on this island.
He's going to do them.
He's going to do it correctly, you know, and that's it, because he, first and foremost, you know, his genealogy, everything will tell him to do the right thing, you know, and his kapuna will speak to him in his sleep and in his prayers, you know, when he goes out there. And so our prayers are with you, Mayor, you know, as you decide to do the right thing.
Here we go.
That is to pick that pen up and to support us on this cause, you know.
We got one for the mayor, too.
We do.
Here it is. Uh-oh.
Oh.
How come?
I don't know.
Computer.
I was upset about those songs. And so that's how it happened. It was like a reply to Paul rather than a message to Paul.
So Sergeant Pepper took you by surprise. You better see right through that mother's life. Those shrieks was right when they said you was
I think we got put them on.
I wrote a sort of son of...
There we go. So one last call before we exit out. You're on the air?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, you go.
Okay.
We got a couple minutes because we're at the top of the hour.
We'll make it fast.
Thank you.
The word pono is used quite a bit. In the Hawaiian language itself, we have figurative, descriptive, and esoteric for everything that we say. Figuratively, pono means righteous or doing the right thing, not necessarily religious, but being the right thing, doing the right thing. Figuratively, it means kuleana, your responsibility to serve, okay? The last, the kauna, or the esoteric, is trust. Do you trust? Are you a trustworthy person? So that's pono.
Right on. I really appreciate the definition and squeezing it in time.
Okay, you guys done a great job. Keep it up. Aloha.
Aloha. There we go, Tim. Last word.
Okay, and I guess with that in closing, can we then put out to our mayor, Mayor, are you pono?
Here we go. There's a question.
Mayor, are you pono?
Here we go. One more from John Lennon on the way out. Taking Kubo, you're a hero.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be.